you. Time gets away from us. We preached a message a while back, maybe over a year ago, I don't remember, on the Trinity, and we likened it to a threefold cord. I believe we even read the passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes, which we're going to read again if you want to. It's the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to read the 12th verse. It says, "If one prevaileth against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." We was thinking this morning, as we was having a Sunday school, about a threefold cord. We've been reading here recently about how during a barn raising, how when they, years ago, they would assemble the timbers, that they would might spend months on cutting out the mortise and the tenon and all the different joints in a barn, that a housewright would spend maybe months on end getting all the timbers ready. And then the community would come together, and they would have what they called vents, was the cross section of a house or a barn, and they would assemble that all together, and then they would have the community come together, and they would raise these things. And it took the help of many. Today, if you was to do it, you'd use cranes, but back then they used jig poles, and they used ropes, and they used block and tackle. And with each time that you go over that pulley, if you have six ropes, for instance, that go up and down, well, then you can divide the weight of whatever you're trying to lift up by six. It's 1/6, but then, you know, you have to travel also. You have to travel six times further in pulling that rope, then it actually raises. So anyhow, I've been reading on these things, and I see how in times back, past, that community meant a lot, that people would come together, that there was no a way to build a man's barn, that he couldn't hire a crane operator, but it took a physical strength of these people. And they'd come together and they'd build a barn, and they would erect something that someone had been working on for months on end, but it would only take about a day or 2 days at the most, depending on how big the barn was, to get the whole frame structure up. Usually it took about a day. And we read this verse here. It says, "And if one prevaileth against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And I never gave it much thought, but to raise these tall buildings, what long length of rope that you'd have to have. When you figure that they'd use a block and tackle, and most of them, they go, there's like a pulley with three grooves in it, so that you'd have a total of six loops. Sometimes there was even bigger pulleys, and if you imagine raising up something that was 40 foot high, that it would take a lot of rope. And I thought, you know, that was not something that somebody just walked in there and carried on their back. That was a rope that somebody placed in a wagon. Somebody took that because of the great length of it. And we were thinking about today, and about the message that come to our mind about Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity being a threefold cord. And then we begin to think about our Christian life, and how that when we were just a young child, that we were preached to the gospel was preached to us, and as it were, a life preserver, a lifesaver was thrown to us, and it was Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that somebody cared enough for me that they told me the truth. But I was thinking in any situation, we seen a while back some fishermen up in Alaska where if you fall in the water, you just have minutes to live because you'll freeze to death. That a man, it was on the camera, and a big wave overswept the ship, and off he went. You see a man running there, and he flings a life preserver. And there was one chance. The man grabbed a hold of it, and when they brought him back up there, he was so cold that he could barely grip onto the life preserver. That life preserver floats on the ocean. But what makes it of great significance is the fact that there is a cord tied to it to draw preserver and a freezing ocean. It's just to give a man moments, a few more moments to live. But it was the fact that it was tied to a cord and that a man there on the ship was pulling it in. That was able to save this man's life. And we were thinking about in our Christian life, there is a cord that is not quickly broken. And it is a cord made up. That is a threefold cord made up of three strands. And this is something that we realize, we taught at Sunday school. It's something that we each and every one know about. But it's not in a knowing that will change a person's life. But sometimes it's in the doing. It's in obeying the principles of God that we can begin to see how He works. All right then, the Bible, if you want to turn, we can turn over into Psalms. We're going to speak about the first strand of this threefold cord. It's in the 119th Psalm, and it's the 11th verse. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." God's holy word. It's the devil's job, as we were just speaking about, to conform us into this world. It is our job to resist the devil and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how do we do that? With this strand that makes up the core. It is the word of God. Thy word, sweet Jesus, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. There was a purpose in giving us God's holy word. It was to shine light in a dark world. It was to tell us that of this generation that there was a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He come for me and you, so that we might have life everlasting. And in His word, that His word hide it in one's heart. Why? Because it ties us to that Savior, that life Savior, that life preserver, which is quite Christ Jesus, a threefold cord, not quickly broken. Think about it. Can you imagine seeing a man with a big cord as one who would raise a bin, a frame of a church? It would have to be of some diameter. If it was a threefold cord, what would a pocket knife? I couldn't slice through it in one motion. Why? Because it is not quickly broken. But as one soul's on that road, he cuts through one accord. He cuts through another. But if we are bound in Christ Jesus, if we hide His word in our heart, that we might not sin against Him, we'll not quickly fall to the lies that the world is telling. All right now, if you will, you can turn. We can look over into Luke. We spoke about one of the strands, which is prayer. Then we find here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 40th verse, it says, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." As we were already spoken about, His word that we hid in our heart, that we might not sin against Him. Can we say that? Have you hid His word in your heart? Are you doing it through the renewing of your mind? And to renew one's mind is to bring it into remembrance. As we get older, our memories fail us. It does us well. Especially, God knows that we are creatures of His creation.
and He knows what our mind, how it works, and the limitations thereof. And we can only put so much in this brain that God has given us. Might we hide His Word in our heart? Might we take His Word and meditate upon it with our minds? And then might we pray, as the Bible says, that we enter not in temptation. Oh, we read His Word to see what He would have us to do, that we might know what He would have us to know. Then we pray that we enter on into temptation. We pray that we not succumb, that we would not conform to the lies of the devil and of this world, but that we would find in His Word and through conversations to be had with Him in prayer, we can have a clarity of mind that we would otherwise not have. We're not feeling well today, but yet we want to get this preached down. A threefold cord that's not quickly broken. We see lives today that are in shambles. We've seen a picture of someone lifting a heavy load of a piano in the city. You know, there's a lot of apartments in the city that a lot of the big furniture cannot come up the flights of stairs, so that they lift a rope and they place them in the windows of these large apartments. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, but more of us have seen. There's been a lot of comedy over somebody trying to lift a heavy load outside on the street with a rope. The latest one I've seen was two men trying to hoist a big grand piano with the rope. And as you see the load being so great, you can begin to see the rope stretch and one of the strands break, and then another, and then another. As a church, we've got a threefold cord that ties us to that life saver. And you've already said that it is prayer, that it is reading God's Word. And then we'll get to the last one. If you want to turn there, it's in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We can turn, if you would. It's in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We're going to read the 23rd verse and the 24th. It says, "Let us hold fast of the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works." And then the 25th verse says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more that ye see the day, as you see that the day, as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, a threefold cord. Listen, it is not quickly broken. We know that an army that is divided against itself, Jesus Christ in a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. We know that when Satan attacks the church, when Satan attacks, as it were, a Christian, he begins working on that cord. That cord that ties us. The Bible says, "Who can separate us from the love of God?" And then it goes on to speak about the principalities, speaking about the troubles in life, and none of these things can separate us from the love of God. But I want to tell you, there is a cord that ties us, that links us to that life preserver. And it is a threefold cord. And it is through prayer and the reading of God's Word and the coming together that we can stay strong in the Lord. It's a concern of mine when we see people consistently missing church. Why? Because they are as that piano hanging on the last of one strand. There's not a person that I've seen that consistently begins to miss church that in this threefold cord that two strands have not already been broken. Listen to me. This is the truth. I know of no other way in my own life of the experiences that I've seen of those that fail to assemble themselves together or those that have a threefold cord that is quickly being broken. Not quickly broken, but quickly, as it were, being separated and divided. That is why us as a church, I would love to throw them a rope, but the only rope that I have is this threefold cord. I cannot make them love God. I cannot make them, as it were, pray. I cannot make them read God's Word, but it is a reflection of one's heart. I've heard men think and men say that when they die, they're going to heaven, but yet they don't want to come and worship. And I don't want to come and dwell and commune with God's children. Why? Because it is foreign unto them. You know that there are some people, as we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is a threefold relationship. It's a beauty, it is an honor, it is a privilege that we are able to pray to an Almighty God. We know that there are several religions that pray to a false god. There are some religions in the East that they pray to their ancestors. They pray to themselves. But I am thankful that not only us as Christians have the ability to pray to a God that hears, but we have the understanding to know what He wants. We have an understanding to know who He is and what His desires is for our life. And how do we know that? Through His Word. Not through His Word that I read as a child, though I read it as a child, but through His Word that I've read today. It is a cord that will not quickly be broken, but can be broken through time if we neglect that salvation that the Lord has given unto each and every one of us, lest we ourselves become a castaway. My prayer today is these that we see hanging by one strand, and can we even say that they are hanging by one strand when they fail to assemble themselves together? I don't know their personal life, but some of us here do. Do we see them in prayer? Do we see them in God's Word? And we wring our hands and we hope that everything's all right. But I want to tell you, a threefold cord is what brings that life preserver to me and you. When the preacher threw it out to me, he threw it out with prayers. He threw it out with the Word of God. And he threw it out in an assembly of God's people. And because I was there, glory to God, I reached out to it, and I clinged onto it, and the children of God pulled me up to them, and as I was pulled to them, I was pulled to Christ. And let us not be deceived, church. There are those here that are faltering. There are those here that see not that it is a threefold cord that ties us to Christ. And each and every one of us maybe needs to always be diligent to look to Him. A rope. I think about lifting up heavy beams that weigh, well, sometimes literally hundreds of pounds, bits, as it were, frames that could be weighed by a thousand. And this is something that's interesting by a pulley. Anybody that knows anything about a blocking tackle, when you have it above, and as you're pulling down on it, have you ever needed help? Have you ever done this? We pulled a well out of a... we pulled the pump out of a well once over a water tower, and we hooked up a pulley. And I can remember my dad pulling on it. And then I began to pull on it. But you know, when you're pulling down a lot of times, how many can you get on there? Two or three. So simply by attaching a pulley and on the ground. It does not increase your ability to lift anymore by putting the pulley tied to the ground and running that rope through there. Now, no longer are we pulling vertically, but we are pulling horizontally because we've brought that down to the ground. The load can be carried because more can get on the rope. Do you get a picture here? Sometimes I think we can do more standing up. And when we can do no more, we call a friend over. But there is only so much he can do. But if we would all bend down, if we would all kneel at the foot of the cross and cling to that rope, we can have a line as long as that rope is. You know, the Bible says if we have a fault, that we are to confess it one to another, and the Lord is faithful and just to deliver us from that. Why should we confess our faults one to another? In order that we might pray for one another. Sometimes we don't know, do we? We don't know what to pray. Now, when we see someone struggling, we don't know what to say. As a preacher, sometimes we don't know what we should do. We know that when people don't want to come around us, we don't know whether it's because of us, something that we've said, something that we did. But those that are living life hanging on one cord. I can remember going to a church, and then that within that congregation, there was many a person whose Christian life was all based on one cord. And that was in assembling themselves together. Their ties to God was in the church that they went to. And if they prayed, they prayed at that altar. If they read God's Word, they read it in that church, in Sunday school, or when the preacher read it. And because events took place in their life, they were unable or unwilling to go to that church, and they had not a relationship with God outside of that church. And they fail. Satan knows how effective this threefold cord is. Satan knows how effective, as it were, one of these strands. Now that's why a Christian that is clinging to Christ with a twofold cord, Satan will still yet fight. Just as he'll fight one that has one strand. But do you see where when one strand is broken, there's not the other two to bear the load? We have much to pray about, church. Wednesday we preached, as it were, on family devotions. And we almost had a perfect attendance. And I ask this, not as in what did you do, but I'm going to ask this question and I'm going to tell you what I did. Since Wednesday night, we preached on family devotions and the importance of it. And as for Daryl Hensley, we had family devotions Thursday night and Friday night. We worked a lot Saturday. We come in. We didn't really give it no thought, really. We turned the television on and at 6 o'clock when we normally have them, but our schedule through the week is different than on the weekend, isn't it? And we didn't have them. And I say this to my shame, we didn't have them last night. So 6 o'clock, I started watching the presidential debates. Didn't realize it's going to be a 3-hour deal.
It got late and it was time for the children to go home. But how about you? How many times did you have family devotions? It's not in the knowing, folks. The man that ran in this picture that I seen, it was so cold up there in Alaska. Ice had coated the deck of the ship. It was on the railings. It was everywhere. And when that man fell overboard, when he was swept by a wave overboard, his crew member was not in the knowing of where the life preserver was, or the not the life preserver, but the lifesaver of the ring. It was not in the knowing of where it was, or that they even had one. But to see this man running on that ice, and how he threw that, and the waves, the waves were so high that the ship would disappear, you know. And he threw that out there, and I thought, I mean, as he ran, and you can imagine sliding on that ice running, coming up to that, and he flung it. I mean, it just looked as if I would have thought myself that I would have been so careful to try to get to him. But he knew the urgency of it. It was not in knowing that the man needed a life preserver. But he cared so much that he ran across that deck, a deck a man had just been swept off of, and he threw that life preserver. It is not in the knowing of what we need to do that will change our children's lives. But it is in the obeying of God's Word. These principles are for a purpose. Reading God's Word will change lives. Gathering around in family prayer will change lives. And if we will allow it, and if we would let it be the third strand of this cord coming together, we can see lives changed for the better. We can see families together. So then, what are you going to do this week? You know, we live in this is a time of year that a lot of people make resolutions that they have resolved to do of certain things. I heard this week Jonathan Edwards is, I think, at the age of 13, but he had 26. I could be wrong about the number and even his age. I think it was at the age of 13 or 14. He had resolved to do 26 things for the Lord and make a practice of them. You know, the difference between God's people and the world is God's people have chosen to obey Him and do His will. The world is content to do their own. Can you say that you've made that distinction day in and day out? Are you doing will of the Lord? Are you doing what you want to do? You know, there's a lot of people in the world that have never known Christ, that have chosen to abstain from certain sins because it brings them heartache. It doesn't bring them pleasure. I think sometimes we think that if we abstain from this sin or that sin, somehow that it makes us a Christian. But you can go to any Alcohol Anonymous, NA meeting, any of these, and you'll find people that have chosen to abstain from evil because of the heartache that it has presented in their life and this present life. But those that are born again have reached out and have clung to that Savior. They have a connection between them and Him. with this threefold cord. Let's get some song to sing. How many strands in this cord of yours is broken? With a cord, a threefold cord is not made up of just simply three cords, but each individual cord is made up of fibers. And you can have a threefold cord with one of the cords half severed. And obviously it's stronger than a two-stranded cord. And so, you know, a lot of times we think, well, I read God's Word and I pray and I come to church. So all these cords then are not broken. But are they in need of repair? We have straps at work and they have a rating on them. Depending on how you use them, whether you use them as a choker, whether you use them as a U-strap, as it were, whether you use it with the eyes and all these, and on that strap there's a rating of all the different weights that you're able to lift up with this strap, depending on its size. But we work in a machine shop that has sharp edges, and there's a lot of those guys that when they cut on a part, before they take it off their machine, they don't deburr it. They don't take the sharp edge off where the strap's going to go. And we have all of these straps in the shop. And I say this, OSHA probably, you're supposed to throw them away when they, but they don't get cut all the way into. But they get frayed. And it comes to a point they get so frayed that somebody ends up throwing them away. Your rope, your link between you and God. There's a lot of people that take issue with this message. But I'm trying to paint a picture here. Your prayer life, your Bible reading, and your coming to church. Is any of it in need of repair? Well, we have a Savior that can mend all wounds and can fix all problems if we call out to Him. Go ahead. This is just the honest truth of it. If I read not His Word, if I pray not unto Him, and if I don't come to church, does this make me a bad person? Does this make me any less of a Christian? The question that should be asked is, why are not these three strands of a cord my desire? Is it my actions in life simply a reflection of the condition of my heart? You know, I go home every day from work. I pass a bar. I guess they have happy hour. I think they've had it advertised on their billboard. It's no temptation to me to go in there. Matter of fact, to think about going in there, I kind of just shudder. It's not a temptation. It's not who I am. Although there was a time in my life that no doubt that is where I would go to find entertainment. But today, it's no temptation to me. But don't you think if I went there, it would be a reflection of who I am?
Don't you think our closest friends are a reflection of who we are, who we choose to hang around, what we choose to do in our spare time? I can't remember who it was. It was a wise man that said that he didn't judge a man whether he be good or not by his vocation. But he judges a man, or he said that our lives judge us and what we do in our spare time. I told you that we had family devotion since Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. We didn't have them Saturday. Out of negligence, there's no excuse for it. But if you said you don't have time, if you said, well, I was too busy, I want you to do something for me. I want you to sit down and every time you watch the television, keep track of those hours. Every time you pick up a book or something else, anything you do in your spare time, keep track of those hours. And then at the end of the week, who are you serving? Who are you devoting your time to?